Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
On the way to the office this morning, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this fellow talking about the fact that there are over 245 active conflicts in the world. I stopped to think about that, and boy, that's sure a lot of trouble. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are suffering and involved in that activity. I had just switched radio stations, and I did so because there was this fellow that I was listening to that was talking about how the economy of the United States and the rate of foreclosures on homes and the crime rate and the unemployment rate and all of those things were just going to bring our country to its knees. And I think that you almost have to take a Prozac before you listen to the news. When we stop and think about the blessings that we have, how do you feel about that? I believe that there are blessings that we have living in our country, living in our times, that are unmatched in the history of the world. It just is overwhelming to look around and to see the environment that we have been given by God to enjoy. I admit that I love this country. I guess you could call me a patriot. I have a lot of friends where I live that come and spend the winter from and their primary residence is in other countries, and I enjoy when they talk to me about the benefits of living where they do and the blessings that they have there, and I'm sure that's correct. But I have never heard anyone convince me that I should want to live anywhere except the United States of America. It's a great place. But at the same time that I consider and thank God for those blessings, I wonder if my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren will continue to have the kinds of blessings that my wife and I enjoy. And I ask myself the question quite often, do you think that God will continue to bless America? Do you realize that we're rich? In the United States, we're living more comfortably than any generation in the history of mankind. We throw away more food on the day that we call Thanksgiving than some families have to eat in a whole week. Our dogs and our cats are better nourished and have better medical treatment than many of the people that live in parts of the world. I want to suggest to you that there are two truths that are undeniable. One, we are richly blessed with an abundance. And two, sometimes we take those blessings for granted. We get in such a rush that we don't prayerfully count our many blessings like we sing at the services of where we worship here at Monte Vista. Count your many blessings. I don't know that I would have the time to sit down and just write every blessing that I've got. We forget sometimes from whom all blessings flow. James 1 and verse 17 tells us exactly the source of those blessings, and it's certainly not ourselves, it's not our government, it's not our history, it's our God. Before going into the Promised Land, Moses spoke of the dangers of the affluence and the opulence that Israelites would face into Canaan. He warned of the inclination that is the habit of man to forget God as the source of their blessings when things start going well. Moses reminded them of the consequences of that in a passage that I would like for you to read. When you have a quiet time, perhaps you're in your car and you're listening to this broadcast. Perhaps you don't have a quiet time right now. But when you have a quiet time where you can sit down with your favorite book, and I hope that's the Bible, and you can turn to the book of Deuteronomy and read in chapter 8, verses 7 through 20. And while that is certainly an account of history, it's also very applicable to what we have here in our country today. And the warnings there are very real. The source of those warnings is the one who was the creator of all things. Again, when you have a quiet time, sit down and read Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 7 through 20, and take that admonition to heart. In Romans, the 15th chapter and verse 4, the Bible tells us that the things that were written aforetime are for our instruction. So certainly that is instructive to us, that passage in Deuteronomy. Now I want to consider with you for a few minutes a question. Will God continue to bless America? And I believe that He will, if we humble ourselves and realize that no nation is indestructible. The Bible teaches in Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 25, the Lord will tear down the house of the proud. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter and verse 18, we read, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. God's not telling us there that we shouldn't be happy and proud of the things that He's given us to enjoy. He's saying, don't be puffed up. He's saying, don't have a haughty spirit. Don't think that you're so high and you're so blessed that you cannot be brought down. And I realize that those passages in Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 16 apply to individuals. But any time you find a passage that applies to individuals, you can extrapolate the meaning out, and it can well apply also to nations. In Obadiah, the 3rd and 4th verses, the Bible says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Now, God's talking there about the Edomites that were just so puffed up and they thought nothing could go wrong. You should take the time to read the book of Obadiah. It says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell on the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend yourself as high as an eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, saith the Lord. What a message. God has told us that if we get too puffed up, if we begin to think that we're impervious to any kind of discipline, that God certainly can bring us down. The ancient powers that we study about in history, the powers of Babylon, the powers of Phoenicia, the powers of Egypt, they were all brought down because of an inflated self-worth. Even God's own people, the Israelites, were removed as a nation because they sought alliances with other nations instead of trusting in their alliance with God. The Bible teaches clearly, and history confirms without doubt, that no nation is indestructible. The greatness of a nation is not how many nuclear weapons it has. It's not how many ICBMs they have and their effectiveness. The greatness of a nation, my friend, is not whether the budget is balanced. It's not whether the economy is stabilized. The greatness of a nation is not measured in the unemployment rate or any other social standards. Get it now. The greatness of a nation rests in its people giving glory and thanks to God. Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever set foot upon the face of the earth, wrote, and it's recorded in Psalms 127 and verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Will God continue to bless us in this nation? Well, I think He will if we return to the moral principles that God set forth. Proverbs 14 and verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." Does it seem to you that we almost magnify and that we almost worship sinful activities anymore? It seems that way to me at times. If it's true that sin disgraces the nation, we are becoming a disgraced and a reproached people. We certainly are on a slippery slope heading toward an immorality unknown in this country. Historians tell us it was moral decay from the internal part of the government that led to the fall of the Roman Empire. You know, perhaps you and I should be like Belshazzar. We need to see the handwriting on the wall. 42,036,175 abortions in our country since 1973. That's a staggering number. 42,036,175 babies killed in our country. I was reading just the other day in an information service on the web, where a couple was trying to find a baby to adopt. They had tried to have children of their own unsuccessfully. They had all the resources and all the desire to raise a family, and they were having difficulty finding a baby to adopt. And here, statistically, we've killed over 42 million babies since 1973. That's 3,600 a day. That's 151 in an hour. That's one every 24 seconds. Over 60 during the period of time that this program will air this morning. Babies killed and called the rights of women to have a choice. For every 1,000 live births, there's 306 abortions. Now, in 1997, there were more abortions than Americans dying in the Revolutionary War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Gulf Wars, all put together. More abortions than all of the soldiers killed in those wars. Abortion, a $400 million a year industry in our country. Sexual promiscuity. 1 in 5, it's said by the Harris Poll, lose their virginity before the age of 13. 30% of those married couples surveyed had an affair. 50% of the girls and 80% of the boys surveyed were active sexually during their teenage years. 6% now claim to be lesbian and 7% homosexual. Alcohol and substance abuse. 10 million people admit to taking one drink between the 7th and the 12th grade in school. 15 million alcoholics now in our country. A million, in excess of a million, that belong to teenage gambling addiction control. Our values are changing. Immorality and worldliness are viewed by Christians as respectable in some cases. The language that we see and hear on television, the immodest apparel, the sex in the movies, our senses are becoming dulled. One of these days we'll give an answer for the things that we do while we're here in the body. Lest you and I make a pledge in our life to get back to living pure and holy before the world, let's open the Bible and read Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 15, 16, and 17, and then go to the 6th chapter and read verses 14 and 15. And let's let that be our guide to how we act and how we react in the world in which we live. Will God continue to bless America? Well, you can see that there are things that we need to get fixed. There are things that we need to do. There are policies that need to be changed. There are laws that need to be written that allow us in this country to return to the moral principles that have been given to mankind by God. Third, will God continue to bless America? I believe so, if there's a restoration of the home as God intended the home to be made. The breakdown of the family unit in the United States is unbelievable to former generations. Thousands of people live together now without being married, with no shame at all. There are dormitories on college campuses that are supported by tax money that allow the males and the females to cohabit. And that just seems like that nothing's said about that anymore. 50% of the marriages in some of our biggest states end up in the divorce court. I want you to listen to a quote that I wrote down from Edward Gibbons. Edward Gibbons is the author of a book called The Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire, and it's looked at by many scholars as being sort of the best book on that subject that you can read, the most accurate that you can read. Here's a quote from Edward Gibbons. A reason for the rapid increase in divorce and the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home is the number one cause, the fall of the Roman Empire. Well, if that's true, it's no wonder that America's in trouble. The home is being destroyed in many instances. And what do we do about that? Well, we build and we support daycare centers where kids are raised by 9-to-5 substitute moms. And we just shuffle our kids off to keep them out of the way so that we can pursue a career. We give our kids to schools that teach humanism, and we allow them to have more time to train and to mold the minds of our children than we do. And what we need is moral training in the home. And when we need it is now. We might even say we need it yesterday. Husbands and wives need to be committed to stay married. When you design in your heart that relationship with a lovely spouse, design in your heart also a commitment to stay married, to work through the troubles, to make that marriage what it should be. We need grandparents who will help to establish and maintain godly relationships in their families. We need grandparents that will get out of that Winnebago and help their grandchildren learn about God and learn about the greatness that lies before them in that life that they're about to live, and how they can be a great a change agent in the country in which they live. We need to have grandparents use their influence for a positive in the lives of the grandchildren. God will continue to bless America, I think, if there's a revival of the dignity for man as created in the image of God. Folks, there's either a God or there's not a God. Genesis, in the book we call the Bible, says there's a God. Do you believe that? If God is, then man's responsible to him. If God is, then man has a perfect standard to follow and to heed. If God is, then man is going to be judged by that standard, the Word of God. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." But if there is no God, if those who gain attention through their shouts of atheism are right, and if man is a product of mechanistic chance, like our kids are taught in school when they listen to the evolutionary material, the consequences cannot be understated. If there's no God, there's no absolute standard. Nothing can be classified as wrong. If there's no God. If there's no God, there's no such thing as love, because God is love. God made man in his own image. And in thus doing, he gave man the capacity to love. He gave man the capacity to be loved. I don't know why, for sure, that modern man has concocted this humanistic doctrine called evolution, but it may well be because man in all of his intelligence can't imagine that there's any power greater than he is. That man needs to sit down in a quiet place, open the Bible, and read Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. Will God continue to bless us? Yes, I believe He will if we realize that the God who created the universe is the God who rules the universe. Benjamin Franklin, at 81 years old, addressed the Congressional Congress. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire rise without his aid?" My friends, the fate of this nation is not determined in the halls of Congress. The fate of this nation is not determined through Senate legislation. The fate of this nation is not determined at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., no matter who lives there. The fate of this nation rests in the hands of God. Psalms 33 and verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." When we remember that, we'll be blessed. When we forget, the Bible teaches and history confirms that God will withhold the buildings. Remember what God told the Edomites in Obadiah 4, "Though you exalt yourself as high as the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, saith the Lord." Finally, we will continue to be blessed if we restore New Testament discipleship. That good news called the gospel has to be taken out of the four walls that we call the church building. It has to be put into the hearts and the lives of our associates. Matthew 28 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Go therefore and make disciples." The dedication of first century Christians didn't confine itself to the times of assembly. They went about preaching Jesus to a lost world. Our country prides itself on being the strongest nation in the world, and I believe that that's true. We've been given, though, the impression that we're invincible, that our reservoir of military firepower makes us indestructible. But I ask you, is the strength of nations so measured? To ask is to answer. Will you join me this week? Will you begin a special effort to be patriotic? If you will, the most loyal, patriotic thing you can do for your country this week is to be a faithful Christian. If enough of us do, then maybe, just maybe, there'll be enough salt, there'll be enough leaven, there'll be enough light to preserve our great nation. God bless America. I pray, as I'm sure you pray, that He will continue to do so. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Visit us when you have opportunity at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, located at 2202 North 40th Street, in Phoenix, Arizona. Bring your Bible. Compare what you hear taught at this place with what the Bible says, and see that we are a group of people who speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible is silent.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.